How many of you know our pastor is a great teacher? His teaching method is completely different from anybody I've ever known. Now, let me show you what I mean. I mean, those of you that's been here a while, you know that Pastor Dave can teach some really strong stuff. But he does it in such love and with such humor. He can actually be stepping on your toes. And it might be about 3 days later, you just laughed and enjoyed that service and you keep thinking about it. And 2 or 3 days later, you went, hey, I think he was wanting me to pray and stuff. In other words, he's kind of getting on to me, see? Well, I had an experience like that this last week. I was talking with Pastor about something. What I was saying really was irrelevant. He started speaking back the mind of Christ to me. And, you know, most of you know that I've been strong in some areas, like prayer. I've been real strong in that. Confessing of the Word, I've been strong in that. Meditation of the Word, I've been real strong in that. My weak areas have been what is that word? Something. What? Oh, fasting. Somebody said, yes, sir. And also spending extended time in worship. Now, I worship the Lord. Don't get me wrong. I worship the Lord. But it was extended hours. So that's my two areas, though. If I was going to say the two that I'm weakest in, it would be fasting and extended worship like that. So Dave was talking to me, and he wasn't getting on to me. But watch how he teaches now. Now, we're on the phone this week. He says, we was going over that. And really, the way he brought it up even was so gentle. He says, Gary, the thing that brought the presence the most. I mean, I thank God for all of the praying in tongues and the meditation. But he says, Gary, the thing that brought God's presence the most was that extended time in worship. And I'm listening, I know. And I'm going, well, yeah, I said, yeah, that I should do more of that, you know. And he says, well, you know, a guy could get up earlier. And I said something real smart like, I'm already getting up at 4:30. You know. So then, now here's Dave's teaching method. He says, well, you need to ask the Lord to heal your foot. I think your mind is doing about what my mind did right there. Because when I, you know, what? Yeah, you need to ask the Lord to heal your foot. He healed mine eventually. I said, I didn't know your foot was bad. What do you mean heal my foot? He says, well, if you can ever get the Lord to heal your foot, then you can put your foot down. Wow. Is that a teacher or is that a teacher? Yeah, so I've been asking the Lord ever since, Lord, heal my foot. Heal my foot so I can put my foot down and do what I need to do. Do we love our pastor or what? Okay. All right, open up your Bibles. Luke chapter 10. Wednesday night we went to Matthew chapter 10. And we looked at when... After Jesus had had great revivals, it says he was healing all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases. But then when he looked at the multitudes, said he had compassion on them because he said they were like sheep without shepherds. And you got to remember that during that time before his glorification, Jesus was restricted like any other human. He could only be in one place at a time. One geographical location at a time. It's not that way now, but it was then. And so he was, even though tremendous miracles were happening, it says he was healing all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases. My Lord. But then when he'd look at the need, it was so vast and he could only be at one place at a time. So then he says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. And then the very next chapter, that was in chapter 9, then Matthew 10 is when he appoints the 12. And it says he gave them power. Let me read it to you. Matthew 10:1 says, when he called unto them. Now, we're going to Luke. You didn't go to the wrong place. But this is review from Wednesday night. So Matthew 10:1 says, when he had called unto them his 12 disciples, he gave them power. This is the year of what? This is the year of power. Now, the word there are two Greek words commonly translated power in the New Testament. One of them is Strong's number is 1849, and that's the one he uses here. It is pronounced, I hope, exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. And exousia The best word we would have in English today for that is authority. He authorizes. I give you, this is exactly the power that a policeman has. That little, our daughter Erin, was at the time she probably weighed 105 pounds. She was a policewoman for a few years. Little old slip of a thing. No way Erin could stop a moving bus. But when she's in uniform and she steps out into the intersection and raises her hand, the bus stops based on the power that she has been authorized to wield. It's not based on her internal inherent dunamis. It's not dynamite power like that. But she has been authorized by the city of Tulsa. And that bus better stop, because if it doesn't, then all the power of Tulsa, everything that Tulsa has can come against that. See? Well, Jesus, when he called his 12, the word that he chose to use was exousia. It says he gave them power, let's say authority, against unclean spirits to cast them out. Now, he didn't give them dunamis to cast them out. There's a big difference now. I never did read the second one. The second word, commonly translated power, is the Greek word. The Greek Strong's number is 1411. That Greek word is dunamis. And that's where we get our word dynamite from, which is pretty explanatory. That is real, raw power. That's not exactly authority. That's explosive power. That's the kind Dave has when he does his lifter imitation, you know. Raw, unmitigated, almost unrestrainable power. Sorry. Love our pastor. So he sent out the 12, this is Wednesday night, and healed the sick, cast out devils, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead. Then, if they'll not hear your word, shake the dust off your feet. But see, what the modern church has done has gone and just taught the word. No demonstration. Well, they didn't believe me. I'm just going on to the next town. But see, Jesus says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Well, we're coming into the time of demonstration now. And he said, this is the year of power. Well, there's two kinds. There's two kinds of power. Now, my favorite verse on this subject is going to be in this passage we're going to look at today. And we're going to go to it first and then back up. Okay? And it's in this Luke chapter 10, verse 19. The reason I specifically like this verse is that it uses the word power twice, but it's the different Greek words each time. So it gives us a really better understanding of what we've been authorized or empowered to do. If this is the year of power, we need to know what we've got. Amen? So he says in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give unto you power." Now, if you mark in your Bible, it's important to know that that's the word exousia. I give you authority. Okay, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the, now here we go, power. That's the Greek word dunamis. The enemy does have some power. What kind of power? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of who? We got to get that straight, see. Religion will tell you God put that sickness on you to teach you something. But I don't ever see Jesus putting sickness on nobody for any reason at all. No, God is the healer. The devil is the oppressor. He does have power. We have been authorized over that power. Notice all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. And nothing, and I looked that word up in the Greek intensely. I studied the Koine. I studied the classical. I studied the every man's day Greek. And I found out that nothing means nothing. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Devils themselves have no power over you. Now, they work through people. They work through people to slander and gossip and steal and malign and all of those things. That's how they do it. But the devil himself has no power over you. Now, my job is to follow him with the illustration. He knows what I have on the inside of me. So as he brings those forward, I read one of my favorite stories is about Lester Sumrall. How many love Lester? Glory to God. He's gone on to his reward now. But I read the story one time where he was traveling and preaching in some hotel, and all of a sudden his bed starts boom, going across the room. How many read that story? It starts vibrating and then moving across the room, you know, and boy, he comes to his senses and he looks and it's a devil. And first he goes, it's only you. And he's going to like roll over and go back to sleep. And then he had a thought. He went, wait a minute. Put it back. And that devil had to put the bed back. Now, we're going to come to that verse here in a minute. These people, when they came back, they were amazed that the devils were subject unto them. I did do a study on that word subject. It means to enslave. It means they have no choice. It means they have to do what you say. Your days of normal are over. That was a good amen. I need about 100 more. Your days of normal are over. Amen. Amen. Your friends are going to think you're weird, crazy, and strange, but they know where to come when they need prayer. Amen? Amen. God did not call you to be normal. Now, this verse has always been... did I finish reading it? Let me read the whole verse just in case. I think I did, but anyway. Behold, I give unto you authority, power, to tread on serpents and scorpions. Could he draw a more vivid image? They're not going to hurt you. They're not going to walk on you. You're going to walk on them. See, the whole church is in a fear mode. It's in a defensive posture. The church at large. We're always on the defense. You know, what's the next attack that's coming? And shame on us. The enemy should be the one quaking in his boots when dawn comes and he's going, oh no, the Christians are waking up again. The Christians are waking up again. What damage are they going to do to my kingdom today? When he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church, he didn't mean our gates would hold against the onslaught of the enemy. What he was really saying is the gates of hell won't prevail against us as we go forth to conquer and take this planet. See, we're supposed to be on the offensive, not the defensive all the time. I'm preaching pretty good, I think. All right. Now, how many knows what in our BD days? Y'all know what BD is? The world does BC, but you know, Sue and I, we do BD. There's before Dave and after Dave. Well, this was one of my favorite verses that always has been, just lifted out all by itself. But how many of you knows Dave taught us the laws of meditation? This passage, the more that you keep backing up, the more you see the context, the richer it gets. And we're going to do some of that today. Is that okay? All right. So now, first off came the 12. He said, first off, there was just him. He was doing all of these miracles. He had compassion on the multitude. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into his harvest. And so then he appoints 12, and then they go and they do exactly the same thing. Now, I said Wednesday night, and I'm going to say it again. He did not call us to be laborers of a different kind. He called us to be laborers of the same kind, doing the same works. That's exactly what he said in John 14, the works that I do. Now, I'm not against programs. I'm not against midnight basketball and swimming and anything like that. But that's fine. But dear God, let's not stop there. That's not I can't find where he started any basketball programs. Now, I'm not against any of that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. Let's not drop that. Let's go on beyond that. Where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. He said, even in that prophecy, just today, he said, those that I have authorized, all I need is faith from them I have authorized for the power to flow. And I'm sitting there going, I think he read my notes. I think I got these from him, to be honest with you. That's the topic for today. You're the ones that's been authorized. Later on in John 17, he says, I'm not praying only for these that are present with me today. All of this I'm praying for all who shall believe on me through their word. Boy, that's us. One way or another, you believed on Christ through the word of one of those men. Passed down through the Bible. Glory to God. Well, yes, sir. Normally this verse, we just read it and teach on it, and it's good to do that. But I want to show you another deception of the enemy. See, by now, if you're still here, and I mean all of you watching also, if you're still connected, if you could take the microphone for a little while, everybody here could talk about how the enemy has done everything he can to drive you away. Adversity, persecution for the word's sake. Most of us have got accustomed to kitchen sinks flying by our ears, you know. So, what I mean is throws everything at you, including the kitchen sink. But see, eventually, if affliction won't drive you off and trouble won't drive you off, then the enemy, he'll switch tactics. And that's why the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, cares of this world, he'll start taking you, turning you a little bit. Well, I can't run them off with adversity. What about glory of men? Maybe if I give them some glory of men, they'll start diverting off the path or something. Now, it's real subtle. You have to meditate to get this. Now watch. First, it was just Jesus. He was doing the works. Then he sent out the 12. Then they're doing the works. Now, here's an amazing thing. After that, and we back up, see how far back I got to go here. Back up to chapter 9. We'll start in verse 46. They started being used in power, the 12. Now get this, they started being used. And suddenly a new discussion starts arising in the camp. Now, this is all headed up towards this passage we're in. This is part of it in the context, Luke 10. There arose a reasoning among them. Which of them should be the greatest? I'd never heard anything like that in church. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, he took a child and set him by him. And said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be great. Now you thought it was an accident that Dave took the water pot. Dave follows the Spirit of God more than any man I have ever known. That was a visual demonstration. Oh, let me fill up everybody's water while I'm here, see. You think that was an accident? Let him be least. He that is least among you, the same shall be great. John answered and said, Master, now get this. Now you got to get this in context. First it was only Jesus doing the works. Then the 12 start doing the works. Then something starts arising in them. Well, lust of other things. Which among us is going to be the greatest in the kingdom now that you're using us? This is so common. So common in the body of Christ. Jesus, he brings over a little child. No place of authority. No scepter, no throne, no golden robes, little child. No, this is the attitude to keep. How many of you like the childlike quality in Pastor Dave? Now, let me fill up the water. They need water, see. All right, now keep going here. So then, they're starting to think they're a little bit of something. John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. Now, the wording here is critical. It does not say they saw one trying to cast out devils. This fellow was doing it. this guy, and he wasn't doing it in his own name. He wasn't trying to be a hot rod. We saw this guy. He was casting out devils in your name. But now notice, however, we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. Jesus said unto him, forbid him not. For he that is not against us is for us. You think that's in there by accident? Right at the time when they're starting to... Well, first only Jesus could do this. However, how did Dave do that at that time? Now, this is Dave's teaching again. Remember when he first started out? First early meeting. That might have been the first one. And that lady, he says, does anyone need prayer? Y'all remember? This lady comes up. Oh, what do you need? I'm a sonny, I'm deaf in this ear. And Dave goes, shh. This is a big one. He didn't want everybody to hear this. I mean, the whole six or seven people that were there, he didn't want them to hear it. Dave's story. Shh. What? I can't hear. This ear is deaf, sonny. So he mustered up all of the courage that he had. Put his hand on the ear in the name, you know. And he's doing it real quiet in the name. He says, can you hear me? And she goes, why, yes, I can hear you. And he goes, you can? Boy, his whole demeanor changed after that. Then it was, she had a deaf ear. And how he does it. Then I prayed for her and God healed her when I... You see what happens? He tells another story one time. He went to Mexico and the miracles flowed like water down there. He said, this is it. This is it. I got it now. The rest of my life, it's going to be just like this. Yes. The next service he had, did exactly the same thing, prayed exactly the same way, laid the same hands, and nothing. And what was the purpose of that? God needs to show him it's not him. Can you see the spirit that's starting to arise here? See? The lust of other things? All right. God hasn't had you here doing this message all this time to leave you the way you were when you got here. He's been purging you of the love of money, purging you of the love of man's glory, purging you of the need to have a name for yourself, purging you of all of those things that normally end revivals. God can work miracles through almost a stone. I mean, the power is not the problem. The problem is vessels that the power won't ruin. Did I say that okay? You know what I mean by that? You don't get off into this stuff. Well, which of I heard Greg got three people healed last week. Well, God, this week I got to have four. You heard about that preacher back in the early days and during the 50s revivals? I won't mention his name, but history buffs know who it is. That's when Oral Roberts and so many of them, they had the big tent revivals, you know, and this one minister, he went all the way to Australia to measure the tent. I know who that was. It was Oral Roberts' tent. He went there to measure Oral Roberts' tent. See, I wasn't going to say who it was. It was Jack Cole. It's in the history. We're not saying anything out of school here. It's Jack Cole. He went and measured Oral's tent so he could order one from the manufacturer 6 inches bigger in every direction, because he wanted to be able to say he has the biggest tent revival meetings on planet Earth. Jack Cole died in his 30s, if I remember correct. In his 30s, see? The man had astounding miracles. There's no denying the miracles. All kinds of astounding things. But see, the enemy, if he can't get you with adversity, then he starts coming with the other things listed in Mark 4. It's interesting because Tim, when he opened up his service this morning, he said, turn to Mark 4. Don't think if you think the mind of Christ doesn't flow here, you need to think again. So the real enemy now is as he begins to use us. Now you got to be careful not to get off into these things. See, you're not used to this. I want to come on down to chapter 10 now. Okay, first there was only Jesus doing the works. Then in Matthew 10 you can find out that he appointed the 12 and they started doing the works. But then they started getting a little bit thinking there's something. Which among us is the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest one in your kingdom? Normal human ambition. Okay. Jesus teaches them first with a little child. And then they brought up this no name. I'm getting to where I really love the no names in the New Testament. Because the no names, I'm finding out they have no names for us to know on purpose. Because what God says about them most certainly applies to Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper. This guy was casting out devils in the name of Jesus. He had heard. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somehow he heard. And he didn't follow with them. He just heard and believed and acted. And it was happening. And that was a little bit disturbing, I think, to the 12. But apparently they didn't totally have it yet, because now he appoints 70 more. You think you're something, do you? You're starting to think you're a little bit of a hot rod? Let me choose 70 more. And that's Luke 10. So let's read it here a while. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. I wonder what the 12 thought. We thought we were the only ones. We stopped that one guy. And then we had to go back and tell him it was okay. And we thought we were the only ones. Now he's appointing 70 more. Time out. For you meditators, you do know this was prophesied through Moses, right? If you go all the way back into the Old Testament, Moses was trying to do all the work himself. He was wearing himself out. And his father-in-law was going, no, no, you need to appoint others to do this. Moses appointed 70. But by the time their training was coming to an end, did you know 2 out of the 70, they backed out? They said, we're not going to be part of this. But later, when the Spirit of God came and the 68 began to prophesy, the 2 that were at their homes, they began to prophesy too. He does not repent of the calling that he has given you. Anyway, I love that story. Okay. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Now here we go again. He's going to magnify his ministry again. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And he is doing that exact thing now. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now he gives them the same instructions he gave the 12. Later on, now, if you weren't here Wednesday night, you can't make a formula out of this. Because in another place, he says, no, this time take money with you. Okay? If you don't have a sword, you need to sell your garment and take a sword. That's unusual. Okay? But here, we have a lot more detail on the Wednesday night service than I'm going to be able to do here. But he gave the same instructions to the 12. He says, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. Into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. One translation says, you don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. That's pretty good. You know how it is mostly today? Well, I'll go into ministry as soon as I build up my donor base. I'm trying to get enough people who will commit to so much a month, and as soon as I have enough, then I'll go. And if Jesus is okay with that, I'm okay with that. He sure didn't say that to me and Sue. He said, go. And I'm going, have you seen my checkbook? And I think he said, have you seen mine? Not sure about that. He sent us to do a work that we had absolutely no money for at all. And we had instructions. Now, I'm not against doing any of these things. It's just what he told us. Don't send out any appeal letters. Don't ever let any person know any needs you have in the personally or for the ministry. Charge nothing for what you send. And this was in the days, this was cassette tape days. They were expensive to produce and expensive to send. The postage was as much as the tapes, especially to send them somewhere like the Philippines or Africa and places like that. Very expensive. If I'd have ever looked at our wallet, we'd have said no. But day by day by day, these were the days of the manna. That's why I taught on it so long. Day by day, we had to learn the same lesson that he taught them. We had to learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What he commissions, he provides for. Did you get that? By the way, this is good. This is still good instruction today. Dave, he prefers when he travels to stay in a motel. So do I. That's my best. I would rather stay in a motel. Sometimes, though, it's better for the people if you stay at a house. But I have learned not to go from house to house on a particular mission. It becomes a political thing. Each one trying to outdo the other one. Okay? It's wisdom. Okay, that was extra. No extra charge, though. Like we're charging anyway. Verse 8, and into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. But I'm a vegetarian. You can be whatever you want. Really, you can. I don't care if you're vegetarian. I'm not trying to make any laws one way or the other. But I am saying that when the Lord sends you to minister to people, you are their servant. They're not there to serve you and your vegetarian diet. You are there to serve them with the abundance of heaven. I don't like to eat eel. Well, he better not send you to South Korea then. They eat eel there. Lots of it. You know, like we have hamburger stands? They have eel stands. Eel. And they're proud of it. They got big pictures of eels like it should be something you want. Baked eel. The next one, it'll be fried eel. The next one, it'll be grilled eel. And you're going, I need to be healed. I mean, does he not say, eat what is set before you? I don't care if they serve you rattlesnake topped with scorpions. Eat it. He's told us earlier, if you eat any or drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. Eat it. Sanctify it. No creature of God is to be denied. I don't care what your diet says. When you're on a mission for Him. Now, if you want to be a vegetarian the rest of the time, God bless you. It's fine. I probably should do more of that myself. Probably. But when you're ministering as His servant, now He's the boss or not, and He says, eat what is set before you. Bless God, eat what is set before you. Be thankful that you got something to eat. And then verse 9, and heal the sick that are in. That command is so straightforward. Just heal them. What? Just heal them. But Lord, don't you know me? And He'll look right at you and say, don't you know me? I authorized you. I gave you, that's coming up here in just another few verses. I authorized you. It's not based on you. It's based on Him. I authorized you. Heal the sick. How can I do that? I authorized you. I gave you power over all the dunamis. I gave you authority over all the dunamis power that the devil has. I don't care what he has. I gave you authority over it. Walk on it. Tread on it. Destroy it. Do the works that I did. Healing all that are oppressed of the devil. I love it. Whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, Go your way out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaves on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. That's because they came with the gospel. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. When he tells this in one of the other gospels, he says, Sodom, if they had seen the miracles that was done here, Sodom would have repented long ago. Perversion, sexual perversion, is a very strong spirit. Very strong. But he says, the gospel is stronger than that. If they would have seen, I mean, that city, the one that we, Sodom, he says, even Sodom, if they had seen the power of God that you saw, it would break that spirit. And they would have repented. He's not done yet, though. You want to know a stronger spirit than sexual perversion? It's a religious spirit. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Tyre and Sidon was known as the merchandising capital of the world at that time. There was everything to do with commerce and retail and shipping, and that's Tyre and Sidon. And that can be very strong, can it? Can it not? That speaks of our nation today, I think. But he says if they see the miracles, they will repent. Religious spirit. He said, but that religious spirit, even then, crucify him. What did it cry out? Crucify him. Get rid of him. It shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despises me. He that despises me, despises him that sent me. Now look at, I love verse 17. We go by all these too quick. Put yourself in the place of the 70. Maybe you haven't been in the inner circle. It was the 12 that was always in the inner circle. Suddenly he calls you. You're in that next tier. And he says, I'm authorizing you today. I'm not picking on, but I'm authorizing you today. You. I want you to go heal the sick. I'm authorizing you. I'm giving you authority over all the power of the devil. You go and heal the sick. Now, if you're like a normal human, you're going, oh God, oh God, oh God, aren't you going with me? Well, he is, but he's going with by way of the Holy Ghost. See, this is why Jesus said to him in John 14 later, he says, the Holy Ghost, you know him because he's with you. But he shall be in you. Well, they knew him. They knew that he was with them because it was him doing the works. Jesus wasn't there. And they weren't born again yet. They didn't have Christ on the inside. So the Holy Spirit went with them. That's what he meant. Okay? Got that? Well, we've got something they never had. We've got the temple of the Holy. We are the temple of God himself. There is a holy of holies on the inside of you where God dwells. Christ in you, the Father in him, and the manifestation by the Holy Ghost. No wonder he said, go and do the same works. Well, we're just about to do that too. Hallelujah. So, now putting yourself in those shoes, you know, but in the natural you go, well, I heard him. And you're walking towards the town. Maybe you come into town, there's a blind guy on that corner. And there's a leper on that corner. And then over there are some poor people. And I don't know what all was there. And you start saying, we're going to have a meeting. I need you all to come. Let me kind of gather you up. And your job is to preach the gospel of the kingdom to them. Now the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, what is that message? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What that means is the power of God is available right now for you. What is that gospel to a leper? Leper, you don't have to have leprosy anymore. Lame man, you don't have to be lame anymore. Blind man, talk about takes courage. What about, they're about to say even the devils were subject to us. So let's put a few insane people in that camp. Bring on a few insane into the meeting. Insane person, I've come to cast that devil out of you in the name of Jesus. And you look around and Jesus is not with you. He sent you two by two ahead of Him. And you are doing this based on His Word. Boy, that's for benefit of the camera, there are actually people here. You are doing that based on His Word. Amen. Glory to God, a preacher, finally, hallelujah. Got a preacher in the camp, hallelujah. Talk about faith. They're not even born again. They're trusting that when they speak, now, they're trusting with all they can. But look what happens. This next verse, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And I often wonder if he goes, didn't I say that? Today we'd go, duh. Isn't that what I said? Cast them out? Yes, but when we spoke, they had to go. And they still have to go. That word subject, look it up yourself. You got a Greek dictionary somewhere? Look it up. It means to bring into subjugation. It means to make a slave. It means they have no choice. He has given you authority over all the dunamis, all the dynamite that the devil has. His dynamite is nothing to you because you have authority. I for a long time, I wasn't quite getting this, and I thought I had power. But see, if I have power, then it's a matter of how much power do I have. But see, if I have authority, now all the power of God. It's like the policewoman when she goes out to stop the bus. Not just a little bit of the power of Tulsa is available. All the resources of the city, all the power is there to back up whatever she says. Isn't that right? When you speak, all the power of heaven, all the power of the Holy Ghost, every angel, everything God is there to back up what you say. We're going to be excited like they were excited. They come back, even the devils are subject unto us in thy name. And he's going, yeah. Now, I'm reminded of what he told me quite a while back. He says, this is going to, from a future date when we're walking in this all the time, we're going to look back on these days and just laugh at ourselves that we ever thought it was so hard. Hallelujah. Y'all getting anything out of this? I'm having a good time myself. Now I want to talk about that non-commissioned man. Back up again. Isn't it even better when you see it in the context? He was doing his best to deflate their egos. I mean, he's using us now. Aren't we something? Well, we're not going to let that guy didn't travel with us. Hey, stop it. You're not one of us. We're the chosen. Okay? We're the chosen. You know? So he says, bring me a child. No, the way up in the kingdom is the way down. You've got to be humble. You've got to be willing to be the least. You're not here to be served. You're here to serve, just like Dave going around at the water. That was so prophetic. I was watching that going, God, you know this message. That was so prophetic. He's just going, he's just doing it by the Spirit. You know? Hallelujah. Demonstrating. So then, to take them down another peg, bring me 70 more. You guys think you're something? Bring me 70 more. And then those 70, they were stunned. They were surprised. They were amazed. I like how Dave says it, though. You know what Dave says? I love this. He says, if you think these guys were surprised, the devils were even more surprised when they had to come out. Because the Holy Ghost kicked them out. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, the Holy Ghost was there backing up what they said. And those devils, I bet those devils, you talk about pride. Devils, you know, they are pride. Here comes these 70. And they're going, these guys aren't even in the inner circle. They're not even one of the 12. And they're going to cast me out. Don't they know who I am? And here comes Mr. Know-Nothing, or No-Name. Let me say not Know-Nothing, but Mr. No-Name. Here comes Mr. No-Name, one of the 70, almost trembling in his boots. You know, well, Jesus said it, so I'm going to act on it. In the name. I don't know how they did it, you know. Maybe they got that Noah anointing. I want you to Noah. That in the name you got to come out of. And when they spoke it, the devils, suddenly here comes the power of the Holy Ghost and rips them out. They had to come out. They did not expect the power to show up when these no names spoke. Hello, no names. Hello, no names. You're going to surprise some devils quickly. Jesus' name. You're going to surprise them? They're going to be shocked. Let's finish on Luke 9. Go back to Luke 9 just for a minute. I'm having a good time myself. I hope your title of this one is going to be called Two Kinds of Power. Originally, I wanted the power. I wanted the dunamis. No. Then you're always going to be measuring, do I have enough power? No, it's better to have authority. Because now you have all, now you have authority just like the policeman has authority. You have authority with all the power of heaven to back you up. All the power of heaven. Glory to God. Luke 9:49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he follows not with us. I used to wonder about these guys. I'd read something like that. I'd go, who was that? Lord, what's his name? Lord, tell me more. And then it took forever for him to get it across to me. He did this on purpose as a faith builder to us. His name is left out on purpose. As far as we know, the man is never called to the fivefold ministries, never an apostle. We never learned the man's name. What does that tell us? How does Dave put it? This is for Joe Public. This is Mary Wallpaper. This is Mark 16. In my name, those that believe. You just got to be a believer. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Glory to God. So Jesus said unto him, forbid him not. Don't you let anybody forbid you. Forbid him not. I saw it. I didn't know how to say it. Sorry. Okay, yes, sir. I am going to interpret this way. Interpret means to give you the understanding. A few weeks ago, the Holy Ghost moved on my lovely wife, Sue, to minister. And how she did it was an old song. Someone help me with the name. My mind is not in... The Blood-Bought Church, thank you. My mind is not very much engaged at this moment. That was so prophetic. Because what God is raising up is an army. An army that He's been preparing for a long, long time. An army that He's been sanding. He is a carpenter. You think that's an accident that the Lord grew up in a carpenter's house? He knows what it is to take an old, rough piece of oak with splinters, knots, hard places in it. He begins to work on that. My dad was a carpenter by name and by trade for a long time. He loved woodwork, always did, right up till the day he died. And I've seen him take some of the ugliest looking wood, an old tree stump of something, you know, says laying on the side of the road. We'd back up and get it in the trunk, bring it home. Before that thing's done, it's a coffee table or something, you know. But Jesus, He's good at taking that old rough wood with knots and bad places in it, and maybe He'll start sanding that thing, getting the rough edges off. Then He begins polishing that thing. You polish it enough. I've seen some of my dad's tables. You polish that thing enough, you know, you can see your reflection in it. You know, He can see His reflection in you. You're not the same as you were. Now he's commissioning his blood-bought church. Every stronghold of bondage has to come down. Every captive must be set free. This is the year of power. Give him praise. Stand up and give him praise for that. Hallelujah! Glory, glory, glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Hallelujah! We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord. We glorify your name. Hallelujah! The year of power in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you and we glorify you, Lord. I'm excited about what's coming this year.